Harper Audio presents Identity by Milan Kundera. Translated from the French by Linda Asher. Performed by Richmond Hoxie. One. A hotel in a small town on the Normandy coast, which they found in a guidebook. Chantal got there Friday night and would spend a night alone without Jean-Marc, who was to join her on Saturday around noon. She left a small valise in the room, went outside, and after a short stroll through unfamiliar streets, returned to the hotel's own dining room. At 7:30, the restaurant was still empty. She sat down at a table and waited for someone to notice her. At the far side of the room, near the door to the kitchen, two waitresses were deep in discussion. Since she hated to raise her voice, Chantal got up, crossed the room, and stopped beside them. But they were too absorbed by their topic. "I'm telling you, it's 10 years already. I know them. It's terrible. And there's not a trace. None. It was on TV." The other one. "What could have happened to him? Nobody can even imagine. And that's what's horrible. A murder? They looked everywhere. A kidnapping? But who would do that? And why? He wasn't a rich guy or important. They showed them all on TV. His children, his wife. It's heartbreaking. Do you realize?" Then she noticed Chantal. "You know that program on TV about people who've disappeared? Lost to Sight, it's called?" "Yes," said Chantal. "Maybe you saw what happened to the Bourdieu family? They're from here." "Yes, it's awful," said Chantal, unsure how to turn talk of tragedy to the mundane issue of food. "You want dinner," said the other waitress finally. "Yes. I'll get the head waiter. Go have a seat." Her colleague went on. "Can you imagine? Someone you love disappears and you never find out what happened to him? It could drive you insane." Chantal returned to her table. It took 5 minutes for the head waiter to come over. She ordered a cold meal, very simple. She didn't like to eat alone. Ah, how she hated that, eating alone. She sliced the ham on her plate and could not still the thoughts the waitresses had stirred up in her. In a world where our every move is monitored and recorded, where in department stores cameras watch you, where people constantly jostle you, where a person cannot even make love without being quizzed the next day by researchers and poll takers, where do you make love? How many times a week? With or without a condom? How is it possible that someone can slip out of surveillance and disappear without a trace? Yes, she certainly does know that program with its terrifying title, Lost to Sight. The only program that undoes her with its genuineness, its sadness, as if an intervention from some other realm has forced television to give up all its frivolity. In grave tones, the host appeals to the audience to come forward with any evidence that could help find the missing person. At the end of the program, they show pictures, one after the other, of all the lost-to-sight people discussed in previous programs. Some have been unfindable for as long as 11 years. She imagines losing Jean-Marc that way someday, never knowing, reduced to imagining anything and everything. She could not even kill herself because suicide would be a betrayal, a refusal to wait, a loss of patience. She would be condemned to live until the end of her days in unrelenting horror.